Hi there. Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that will hopefully make you smile, laugh, and freak out inside. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie. Sean's an ex-cop who does happier things now.
That's for sure. And Carrie's a New York Times and internationally best-selling children's book novelist. We live in Down East Maine, and our podcast is a little funky. We start off with a random thought we recorded in bed, or the kitchen, or the car, and then we give a writing tip and a dog tip for life because our dogs are wise and smart and like to be included.
We're not hoity-toity. We're not all trash talk, although we try. We're just us. So thanks for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and be cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and dogs are smarter than people. And we begin with a random thought.
Let's do it, baby.
Now. It's random thought in the car time. That was Sean sniffing in.
I really think we needed... No, that was a scoff, like, but it wasn't like...
You had a sniff before your scoff, bro.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, man. When we listen to this later, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I did. Carrie's right.
I'm sure you're right, love.
And then you'll laugh wholeheartedly and point at me and say, you're right.
I'm sure that's exactly how it'll happen, too. Because you're always right.
Oh, good husband.
So, anyways.
What do you want to talk about?
That we should have more random thoughts in bed.
You say that every time. Every time. We're going to Christmas party.
Again.
It's currently the solstice, the night that we're recording this. It's very dark.
It is dark.
And solstice is the time of the last of the dark, right? You're like, hey man, we've accepted it. We've made it through.
Is this like the shortest day of the year?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and now it's like, hey, it's time for hope and light. Why do you find that funny?
I find it, like, realistically funny, you know?
But the days are gonna get longer, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It sucks getting dark at, like, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, because we live in Maine.
3:30 if it's a cloudy day.
Alright, so I want to talk about why Santa Claus, in a lot of cultures, was kind of a creep. Like, he beat up children who were bad.
He is, isn't he?
And in our culture, now in America, he's, like, this lovely, happy man. But he's starting to take a pervy twist.
Is he really?
Yeah. Well, you make him pervy all the time. But also, like, SNL had a...
Oh, I make everything pervy.
Had a recent skit about, like, these parents renting a Santa Claus and, like, mommy is kissing Santa Claus.
Is that the one where the little girl's on the stairs?
Yeah, and she's all perving out to mommy and daddy and being a voyeur and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what that means about our society. Okay, that's helpful.
No, hasn't Santa Claus always been a little bit of a thing for...
I don't know. That's
some chicks and probably some guys, too.
I don't know, man. But Santa shouldn't... Why would something so innocent become so pervy?
I mean, how long has the song been around? I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
A long time. And it's an annoying song. And my dad, my father, Barnard, he would imitate the child's voice singing it and sing along. And that was creepy, actually.
Was it really?
Because you don't want your dad to sound like a baby.
Is that the creepiest thing your dad ever did?
Probably. Although my mom did say he wore a bra once. But that's not really creepy. That's just cross-dressing. But I don't think my mom really... It was like the 60s and she was uptight. She didn't react very well.
Oh, plus, my word.
Plus it was one of her bras. Goofing. I think he was goofing, but it was one of her bras. And I think she was embarrassed. She felt mortified.
Would have been better if it was some other chick's bra.
It was it was the time of pointy bras.
Oh.
Like, you either wore no bra or your bras were, like, really structured and pointy.
Right.
And, like, that's what I remember the most about my mother's bras, being like, is this armor? What is this? Like, there's bones in it or something. There's wires and it's, like, pointy.
Really the point. This must not have been supportive as a modern-day bra. The physical supporting of a breast.
I think they might have been more supporting.
Oh, really?
They were like armor. They were like, I could put oranges in it and hold it upside down and everything would be fine. Kind of thing. Like, they had structure, man. They were no Victoria's Secret bra.
No flimsy lady.
How did we start talking about bras? That's my fault.
Oh, you were talking about Santa Claus being pervy, and then you went to your dad.
My poor dad. He's dead. Hopefully his ghost isn't listening. I have a lot of ghosts,
man. There's an awful lot of noises in our house lately.
Did you hear more noises today? There was a whole bunch of thumping today. Really?
And then, when I was in the kitchen working on the thing for the party, I thought for sure I could hear somebody upstairs, like, with a plastic grocery bag, like, shaking it or something, like they were going to put in the trash can.
It wasn't a cat.
No, it might have been the dryer making just the sound of the clothes spinning, but God, the sound of this. No, because I could see all the animals.
Oh.
And I could see all the animals just prior to that when there was this friggin' thumping. Thumping in our house lately.
They're just trying to say hi, I think.
But I went all the way around. I looked everywhere outside. And there was a big truck or something.
Maybe it was Santa coming down the chimney.
I went into the laundry room, listened to the dryer.
That's what I do every time I hear noises. I try to look everywhere and figure it out.
I can't find a thumping.
Anyways, maybe it was Santa.
Maybe.
Maybe
he's stuck in the chimney.
The other night, Sean fell asleep first, as he normally does. And my fingers started disappearing. I don't know if you all... On Facebook, I talked about the other night, everyone seemed to think that I was having an aneurysm, my Facebook friends, but whatever. I wasn't, obviously, because I'm still here. And in the dim light of the bedroom, I saw a fog in front of... I held my hand up because I couldn't figure out what I was seeing. And I saw, like, a fog envelop and make my fingers disappear. It was, like, moving back, and it moved forward, and I moved my hand, and I looked at different angles. I woke up Sean, blah, blah, blah. He didn't see it, really, but, like, thought it was colder and felt some weird things, but not, like, the experience I had. It was all very calm. And then the other night, it started happening again, and I felt someone petting the top of my head. Like, my whole top of my head was, like, electrically charged, right?
Yeah.
And my fingers were starting to disappear again, but it didn't look as foggy. And behind my fingers was, like, this whitish figure, but it wasn't so transparent. And, like, I don't even know, you know? Like, it wasn't very materialized at all. So I'm like, Sean! Sean! Wake up! And Sean is like...
I don't even snore.
You snore so hard. And I'm like, buddy! Buddy, wake up! Wake up! I think there's a ghost or something in the whole room. Got cold. And he went, what? I'm like, there's something, like, right behind your shoulder. Like, right behind your shoulder. And he's like, And then he half rolled, so he's flat on his back. And then 2 seconds later, he's like...
Sorry, love.
And therefore, I have a really hard time validating my experiences. Because Sean sleeps through everything.
I can't help it.
So I don't know if our house is haunted or not, and we're never going to find out because you're just going to sleep through it.
I'm not as in tune as you.
I don't think... You heard all the thumps?
Yeah, well, that's easy. If there's thumping, anybody will be right.
Maybe it's your dad, man. He just died.
I know.
Seems too chill to be your dad, though. Maybe he's a chill ghost. I don't know. Like, maybe they're like, Merry Christmas! How y'all doing? Love you. I love you, son. Maybe he's trying to do one last I love you, sons.
Maybe.
And you just keep sleeping through it. You're like, F no, I'm not giving you that. No, ghost, no. It's time for sleep.
Sleep's important.
What?
Sleep is important.
That is true. But back to Santa Claus. Is it the sitting on the lap thing? Is that what makes him pervy?
Well, that is a little pervy, I guess, if you want it to be. But it sure doesn't have to be. It could be innocent, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. One of our friends sat on another one of our friends at a holiday party this week, and one of our friends looked very uncomfortable.
The one on the bottom?
Yeah. But she was trying to get me to sit on her lap, and I don't sit on laps because I have a thing about it. And
really?
Yeah, I don't like sitting on people's laps.
I can understand that as a woman.
Yeah, but she's a woman too.
I know, but still.
But I just don't like. I think think I always got stuck on everybody's laps in the car in high school when you were supposed to be wearing your seatbelt, but you so weren't.
Tiny.
And like, I just don't like sitting on laps. Also, to be fair, my dad was always like, "Come sit on my lap, Carrie Kins. Come sit on my lap." That might have been the creepiest thing my dad did.
Maybe. But he was your father.
He was still a little creepy.
Nah.
Was for me. I get overly creeped, though. I have a very high...
Yeah, you're pretty high.
Or a very low creep tolerance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah, no. That's me. Yeah, no.
That is you.
Whereas poor Emmy, when she was like 12, I was not there or I would have put a stop to it. This freaking billionaire guy at the hospital who like used to own a whole bunch of sports teams and was like very old money, parent or grandparent died on the Titanic, old money, wow, insisted on spanking Emily for her birthday.
That's perverted.
And she barely knew him. And she was like, it was really awkward, but I was hoping he would give me $100. She was 11.
That's really perverted.
I know. I wasn't there. I totally would have stopped it. I know. But also, like, how money-focused is my daughter?
She was pimping herself out.
I know. I'm like, baby. I'm like, did it feel awkward? And she's like, it felt a little awkward. Yeah, because I don't know him very well, but he seemed nice. I'm like, oh.
If the money was right.
Oh. He's dead, so I think I'm safe saying that story. But I feel like that was a parenting fail on my behalf, honestly.
Can't be everywhere at once.
Billionaires. And Santa. Do you think Santa's a billionaire?
Oh, heck yeah, he is. He's as rich as he wants to be.
That's true, because it's Santa. I believe that Santa's not creepy or pervy and lovely.
He is lovely.
Just like my dad. Yeah.
Writing tip of the pod.
This week's episode is called Subordinate Me, Santa Claus, because we're talking all about subordinate clauses. As Sean wished.
Well, you mentioned them the other day.
I know.
You said subordinate clause. I said, look here, woman, clause is never subordinate.
He's dominant. Know your place. No, he's not really like that.
No. Or
he would not be in this house with me right now.
But that is kind of what started the conversation.
Anyways.
Brain going to its special place. Go ahead, love, because I don't know anything about subordinate clauses.
So subordinate clauses are baby clauses that can't stand all by themselves as complete thoughts, and they demand a certain kind of punctuation or a lack of punctuation, and that often confuses people, right?
Heck yeah.
It's all about the comma, man.
I love commas. I do.
He does. He really loves his comma. As many of us writers do. So, do you want to read the examples?
Yes.
All right, so here are two examples. Example one.
If I can find Santa, comma, then we go party.
One example number two.
We can go party if Santa ever freaking shows up.
So in both of those sentences, there's a clause that can't stand alone as a complete thought. Sean, will you tell the listeners those clauses?
If I can find Santa.
Clause number one.
Then we can go party.
No, you just confused everyone. What are you doing? You're going off the script, man.
Oh, right there. Sorry. I thought you were asking me, like, challenging me to do it.
No, I write everything out so that you don't get confused.
Rewind.
But apparently
I told you I know nothing about subordinate clauses. Or insubordinate clauses, which these apparently are.
The only insubordinate one here. All right, so again, our sentences were, if I can find Santa, comma, then we can go party. Sentence number one. Sentence number two, we can go party if Santa ever freaking shows up. So the clauses in both of those sentences that could not stand alone as a complete thought are,
if I can find Santa.
That's clause number one. And clause number two is,
if Santa ever freaking shows up.
Right? They can't stand alone. Sean's staring at them.
Nope, you're right.
All right.
I just had to break it sentences down and read them separately like that.
For clarity, this is all written out at my website, www.carriejonesbooks.blog, if you need to visually see this, because this is hard to do without a visual. And even
it's hard to do with a visual.
Because it's a subordinate clause. So a subordinate clause or a supporting clause is basically this clause that's supporting the show-stopping regular clause, right? Like, I support Sean. These clauses do not get a comma before them if they are at the end of the sentence, right? So in the sentence, we can go party if Santa ever freaking shows up. There's no comma anywhere in that sentence, right?
Because it's at the end.
Right. So how do you deal with this, man?
Well, apparently, there are words that always lead off these clauses. What I do is go back and do a find slash replace in my work or my client's work when I'm copy editing.
I should have read that.
You should have read
that. I'm the one who does the copy editing. So, here's a helpful hint for writers. If you include the comma in your find replace search, it makes this way easier. So if you press in that little place where it's the search bar and you wrote comma if, that's going to find all the places that you messed up and put that comma before the if of the subordinate clause.
Oh, wow.
And there are these special words that you can look for that make subordinate clauses, right? Like, that are almost always there. And there are these conjunctions. Sean, do you want to read our massive list of conjunctions?
I can probably handle this.
All right.
I don't have to say the commas though, right?
No.
Okay. After, although, as, because, before, even if, even though, if, in order that, once, provided that, rather than, since, so that.
Oh my gosh.
Then, that, though, unless, until, when, whenever, where, whereas, whether, while, why, for, therefore, hence, consequently, and due to.
That was so long.
I know.
We should have made a rap for that or something, like. Or a song.
I was thinking that myself.
Maybe like a show tune or something. You can find all those words again on my blog because I can't imagine you're all writing it down while listening to this. So, there are also relative pronouns that make the world of the clause even trickier. They are part of relative clauses, but then these overachievers, well, they are part of the subculture called restrictive or non-restrictive clauses.
Really?
Yeah, man. What do you think about that?
I think you're trying to kill me.
It sounds a little naughty. No, there's not that many of those. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
That, which, who, whom, whichever, whoever, whomever, and whose.
You totally should have wrapped those. So these pronouns start either restrictive clauses or non-restrictive clauses. And restrictive clauses also like to be called essential clauses because they are alpha like that. But also because they are, you guessed it, essential to the sentence's meaning. And they shouldn't be separated by a comma. Right? So when they're essential, here's an example.
Do you enjoy watching Santa Claus employ lots of elves that wear sexy sweaters?
There's no comma before that because the sentence needs to know the qualifier for its meaning, right?
Yes.
Right, because if you just said, do you enjoy watching Santa Claus employ lots of elves, that wouldn't mean the same things as employ lots of elves that wear sexy sweaters.
Heck no, it wouldn't.
Right. So, close. In a non-restrictive clause, you don't have that happen. Here's an example. Ready?
Watching Santa,
comma,
who employs a lot of elves wearing sexy sweaters,
comma,
is pretty freaking awesome.
The end. And that's your tutorial.
That sounds like a SNL clip line or something. Just the way it's laid out with the commas. That's awesome.
That's where my brain goes. So that's your little baby tutorial about subordinate clauses, which is probably easier to understand if you go look at the website. And our writing tip of the pod in a little one sentence flush. Would you like to say it, Shankay?
Subordinate the proper things.
Subordinate me, baby.
See, the proper response would have been, yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, nice tone, too.
I'm so bad at that.
No, that was really good. Okay, come back. Dog tip for life.
So our podcast is not an explicit podcast, and so you have to remember this is about grammar.
Yes.
Okay. So what's our dog tip for life, baby?
It's not about domination. It's about understanding restrictions.
And what makes a complete sentence and what's essential, right?
Yes.
But in life, how does that work?
How does that work?
Yeah.
Sparty's got an example.
But, oh, yay!
But first, I got to tell you why I was laughing, because when you first said what makes a complete, I thought you were about to ask me questions. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fail this. Please, no. And it turned out to be statements. Anyways.
Poor Sean. Don't ever ask Sean a question.
Yes. So Sparty, that's how he judges a lot of our behavior, is by how we phrase our sentences.
Right, and our tone.
Yeah, our tone.
Yeah.
And our subordinate clauses.
Yeah.
And where that comma falls or doesn't fall.
Right.
Right. So.
Your faces. Your pause is like 80 seconds long and you're like, I don't know
what to say. If I said to Sparty, Sparty, come here, comma, then we can get in the car. Mm-hmm. That's different to him if I say, Sparty, come here, then get in the car.
Yeah.
Because then he thinks he's getting in the car. But if I say, Sparty, come here, comma, with the right tone and inflection, that he thinks he's coming to me.
Sparty is coming now.
Oh.
Can you hear him walking across the floor?
Good boy. Oh. Good boy, Sparty.
He's such a good boy. So, yeah. Right. So, how does that help other people? Oh, I know how it helps other people. We have to learn from the tone, oh, hi, bunny, of other people, right?
Yes.
Where their pauses are, where their restrictions are, where their intent is, right?
That's right.
And then we can have empathy with them or respond to them accordingly. Right?
That's correct. I was just thinking of a subject for a whole new podcast where we take what's proper on paper versus how people really communicate in real life. The loss of stuff and interpretation and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we could do that.
Ooh. Because it could work backwards for a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of those experiences they're taking from real life and then they got to make them proper on paper.
Right?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of talk about how in real life dialogue does not translate to on the page dialogue, because it'll be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's basically what I mean. So.
And like, the reader's like, what? And how people don't talk in complete sentences, a lot of us, or we wander and our sentences aren't linear. That would be me. And so how that on the page just looks really, really weird.
Yeah.
And all the editors are like, cross that out. That's excess. That's excess. Verbiage.
Right. That's
a lovely idea.
Okay.
But for now, know where your restrictions are. Battle those restrictions.
Everybody,
think about what's essential. It's an almost
everybody
a new year,
knew
man.
Their restrictions, the world would be a much better place.
That's
hey.
What?
Is this coming out before Christmas?
Yes, for those who celebrate it.
Well, happy holidays.
Happy holidays!
But that was my calendarical mark.
Calendarical.
Wednesday the 25th.
Calendarical.
Happy holidays and what else can politically correct go with that?
And have a happy new year.
Happy new year.
Yeah, man.
Cool. And a new decade, actually.
And a new decade. Mm-hmm. We're going to crush it.
That's the kind of trivia you learn when your kid's in middle school. Hey, well, now that people have blessed us with their time and listened to our podcast, what other little tidbits should we tell them?
Well, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Artist in the song is Night Owl by Broke for Free.
That sounds so 80s. Anyways, it's cool. I like it. Got anything else going on in your world?
All the writing tips are at carriejonesbooks.blog. I just released a book called In the Woods with Steve Waddell. It's creepy, it's a little horrifying, and it's a little romantic.
Ooh,
that's cool. And it's the summer buzz book from Publishers Weekly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
I have a Patreon.
That's.
You can find us on social media.
The Patreon's a great way to read a book that's never been published by you.
Yes.
Only Patreon people get to read it, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
Subscribers, I mean.
And you get special content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get special gifts, too, right?
I do. I send out art.
Carrie Jones paintings, which are all beautiful.
And books sometimes.
Yeah.
Signed.
Signed by me.
Sean.
Just kidding.
What do you want to tell people, honey bunny?
I don't know. Just thank you. Thank you for listening.
Please like and subscribe and share.
Yeah, you said that.
Oh.
At the beginning, but we can say it twice.
Can we say it 87 times so people really do?
They'll probably just shut it off after like the 80th one at least.
Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. No.
And get out and live your life.
Yes.
No matter what.
The whole point of Dogs Are Smarter Than People in this podcast is to try to make your life a tiny bit better for at least 2 seconds, in which you're like, at least we're not them, buddy. At least we're not them.
That's all. That's a good one. People always have that outlook. At least we're not them. Having fun.
I love you.
I love you.
Okay.